Welcome back to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It was perhaps the worst-kept secret in recent business history. And today, Ford Motor Company announced it to the world. CEO Alan Mulally is retiring July 1st. As expected, his successor will be COO Mark Fields. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes sat down with Ford's executive chairman Bill Ford shortly after this morning's announcement. And Daniel, before we get into your conversation with Ford, I wanted to talk about the timing of the announcement, because a couple of weeks ago we heard it was coming, then Alan Mulally seemed to walk it back a few days after that, and then we have today's announcement. So was the cat just too far out of the bag for them to keep it quiet any longer?
Well, Alan tends to be a walker backer. I mean, that's kind of been his history. Until it's a done deal and they're ready to announce something, he's not going to be the one to confirm things. But, you know, they had said he would stay through the end of 2014. You know, they had a couple things happening here. One is they have the annual meeting a week from today. And two is I think they wanted to have a period of transition that coincided with the second half of the year. Alan just felt like people were ready. They talked about that this morning in the press conference, that he and Bill concluded that the team was ready, that Mark was ready, and that the team was behind this transition, and it was time to do it. And Alan, I think, is ready to move into retirement. He's very coy about what he may do next. I would expect he may be on a board or two or some other things, and he will be mentioned for some vacancies as they come up around the country, I suspect. But he's also leaving the Ford board upon his retirement.
Okay, so he's basically bowing out and giving the reins to Mark Fields.
Exactly right.
As you talk to Bill Ford, I'm wondering, was there any indication that Ford looked outside the company for a new CEO the way they did with Mulally before they settled on Fields?
They did. They felt like they had to do that to do their due diligence. And I think the preference of Bill Ford and certainly the family was to go with an insider if that insider was strong enough. And they came to the conclusion that they felt Mark was. He really had worked with Alan from the beginning of Alan's arrival. Mark was running the Americas at the time and was really involved in putting together a North American turnaround plan that got turbocharged and refined under Mulally's leadership. But they've been working together for some period of time, and I think they feel very good about this. Bill Ford is especially proud of the transition, and he made the point to me that this company has had terrible problems with chaotic transitions going all the way back to Henry Ford.
They have, that's
and
true.
And if you think about, you know, how Bill Ford became CEO when Jack Nasser got fired and the, you know, some of the turmoil surrounding previous CEO exchanges, This is really a first for Ford Motor Company. And you can tell that Bill Ford is particularly proud of that. And I think it's very important to him that they're able to do that. And he even said that he will be working with Mark going forward, continually refining leadership, looking at succession, do we have the best people, and asking those questions, because he thinks this is something they need to do going forward. And I think it is a testament to the Ford board and to Bill Ford's leadership that they have been able to do this so smoothly compared to their crosstown rival, who's had, what, five CEOs in 5 years?
Yes, exactly. And it's also proof positive, lest anyone wonder about Bill Ford thinking of having that Ford family name at the top, that he's at peace with having a different name.
Oh, I think he is. I don't think, you know, the story of him stepping aside is well chronicled, but in a nutshell, I think he came to the conclusion, given what Ford was facing in 2006, that he wasn't the guy, and he didn't have the tools, and he knew it, and he stepped aside, and they went after Alan. They almost didn't get him. Then they had him, then they lost him again, and then they got him. And the rest, as they say, is history, and it's been a remarkable thing to watch. And I think what's important for listeners in Michigan to understand here is that this is really a Michigan success story. This was a guy who came in from the outside, from another industry, and basically did this turnaround with Ford people. He didn't bring in a bunch of people from the telecoms or from aerospace or from other places to show them how to do things. He basically helped them work together and pointed everybody in the same direction, and they got a lot accomplished.
And when you realize that was the automaker that did not have to get the government bailout, so he sailed them through some very rough shoals.
Yes, he did. But their timing was impeccable. I mean, they were able to get, as they call it, a $23 billion home improvement loan before the markets went south. So they had those lines of credit, and they were able to weather a very tough storm, and it wasn't easy, and it was harrowing at times, but they survived.
And we've seen now this identical pattern at both Ford and GM, with two outsider CEOs brought in when things were in peril, with Dan Akerson at GM and Mulally at Ford. And now they're retiring and being replaced by folks who are essentially company lifers in Mary Barra and Mark Fields. So what are your thoughts as to what this means for the future direction of these two automakers?
Well, I think it is true that they are lifers, and so you have to accept the fact that there's going to be some of that older culture down in the DNA. But both Mark and Mary, in their own ways, are viewed, I think, by people inside their respective companies as change agents, or people that have really embraced the notion that these companies have to change and have had to change to be successful and to kind of have rebirth. And I think one of the questions you're going to have about Mark Fields is, are they going to revert back to some of the old ways? Now, he spent a lot of time in the press conference this morning talking about, we're just getting started with this. We have a lot to build on, thanking Al Mulally for giving them this transformed company that they can use to build on. And I think you have, in a different way, you have the same thing with Mary at General Motors. I mean, GM is a very different kind of company today than it was, and it's got some very difficult things that it's soldiering through that we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But fundamentally, I think the building blocks probably for GM are there. I mean, despite all of this turmoil, their sales are up more than Ford's are, I believe, in the last month. And that's really surprising, because April was a terrible news month for General Motors.
It was indeed. I want to get your thoughts, Daniel, looking ahead after July 1st. Mark Fields is the new CEO. What do you see as his greatest challenges?
Well, number one, I think he has to be able to convey by what he does, not what he says, that, in fact, he is going to continue what Alan has done at Ford. There's a famous story at Boeing that after Alan left the commercial aerospace division, his successor decided to, just because this is what a lot of human beings do, they wanted to change things and do things differently. And they started to drift, and Boeing has had some real problems. So I think people are going to look to see if Mark, in fact, does what he says, and that is he going to continue to lead in a way that emulates the Mulally style, or at least the process? Maybe the style will be a little different, but Mark talked a lot about positive leadership, and Alan's always been a kind of a positive leadership guy, as opposed to constantly wanting to remind people who's the boss.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the first thing I would look at. The second thing is, they've got some trouble spots in other parts of the world. They're catching up in Asia. Russia is problematic for everybody right now. It's supposed to be a growing market. Who knows where that's going to go? And they have in 2015, next year, they've got negotiations with the United Auto Workers that I think are going to be critical, for the very reason that Ford Motor Company, as well as the other companies, are making money again. And you're going to have a real sentiment within the UAW of, we want it back. We want ours back. You know,
we gave when times were tough.
That's right. There's going to be a lot of pressure for base wage increases. And I think that's legitimate, given the fact that they haven't had one since going back to, 2007 or so. They have had much fatter bonuses and profit sharing. But I think you're going to get some push there. So how he negotiates that is also going to be something to watch. Alan was very adept at cutting deals and basically saying, if you give me certain things that help us be competitive, we're going to build cars and trucks right here in the good old U.S. of A. And they pulled products out of Mexico and brought them here. And I think that's going to be something that Mark will probably try to emulate.
Any talk about Lincoln?
No. I think Lincoln is still on yet another attempt at transformation. It's still very much behind the other luxury marks, including Cadillac, by the way. Ford has resisted putting massive multi-billion-dollar investments in Lincoln, having special platforms and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has been a detriment. Now, the cars look a lot better than they had in the past, I think, design-wise. Ford has the capability to do this. It's really a question of whether they want to, how much of an investment they want to make in it. And now I think Lincoln has still got a ways to go before we see if the new Lincoln is any much better than the old Lincoln.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thanks for having me.